Ulterior.
I don't even actually think that the chicken jockey thing is that funny, but for whatever reason, I could not stop watching every video that came across my timeline or explore page over the weekend of people in theaters just completely fucking losing their shit over chicken jockey. There was one video actually where this guy was literally on someone's shoulders in the theater like chicken jockey, which I 100% think would have irritated the fuck out of me if I was in the theater for that. But because I'm watching these videos from the comfort of my own home and Minecraft realm, I get like this weird little amusement out of it, I guess. Do what you want to do. Go crazy for chicken jockey. So this is going to be the first episode that I'm recording since the review of Big Ol' Album by A Day to Remember, which was almost 2 months ago now. I just couldn't make the time for an episode in March, which does bum me out because there were a lot of releases that I would have loved to have been able to like go into soliloquy mode for and gas up, like Spirit Box, Deaf Heaven, Whitechapel, and so on and so forth. But as a means of trying my fucking damnedest to get the show back to the state of consistency and up-to-dateness, if that is even a term, that it used to have, then the best course of action is for me to have the first episode of April be dedicated to the first batch of April releases. Whatever from March that I really, really feel needs to be talked about, it will be at a later time in December. As for the here and now, this is what I am here to tell you guys all about. Brand new singles by the likes of Static Dress, Sleep Token, Baby Metal, and a couple of others I want to bring attention to, and then brand new records by Scowl and Thornhill. Thank you guys so much for tapping in, and I really hope that everybody can enjoy this episode. I was trying to think if there is anything that I forgot to mention in the intro, but I think I covered all the ground that I wanted to. I did have it in my head and my heart before the weekend that I was going to talk about professional wrestling for the intro, but things change and people are cowards, so do not bring that shit up to me again until I say it's okay to. Let's just move on to the music now because there is a lot of really, really cool shit to get through, and that batch is headlined by the brand new Static Dress single called Face. I'm sure that some of you guys can relate to this, if not all of you, but a lot of us have, you know, those bands that we just refer to as our bands because we feel like we're in complete rhythm and sync with them and every direction that they take their music in. Static Dress has been maybe the best example of quote-unquote my band. Since even before the inception of Ulterior, I think their brand of post-hardcore or screamo or whatever you feel like calling what they do is completely tailor-made to what really was my upbringing in the scene. And they don't just check off those nostalgic boxes for myself, but they're also able to push the genre forward into the future and be the gold standard for what it means to embody post-hardcore revival. Face fits right into that entire conversation, and let's say that you hypothetically put this on the tracklist for Rouge Carpet Disaster, which was the Ulterior 2022 record of the year. It is one of the best songs on that already immaculate and special and perfect collection. I love everything about Face, like the apoplectic verses and how they so effortlessly transition into the chorus that I think ranks among the best performances of Ollie Appleyard's career right now. the song just so perfectly captures the vibe of Static Dress that had come to be one of the coolest things that I get to talk about yearly on this show. And I really, really hope to continue seeing their star burn, because I am sincere when I say that I think Static Dress could very well be the best band of the decade about halfway into it. And here is a testament to how stacked this last week turned out to be for releases. From one ulterior record of the year band to another, Sleep Token completely flipped the scene on its head when they dropped their newest single, Caramel. So whenever I introduce a song or record to an episode, I always include a short clip of the track so you guys can hear it before I start talking. And that is done with the intention of providing some sort of, like, you know, I guess like sonic context to my waffling. And I say all that because I have no idea what section of Caramel I'm even going to add in post-production, because this song is ridiculously layered, even for Sleep Token standards. Like, I kind of want to be subtle with my words as to not spoil this song for anyone listening right now who possibly has not yet heard Caramel. At the very least, I think everybody who cares enough about Sleep Token to at least be aware of what they're doing knows by now about the reggaeton style beat that much of Caramel is built around. But I think even saying just that, you know, reggaeton beat, it doesn't indicate the kind of journey that Caramel really, really takes you on as a listener. It's different from Emergence in a sort of similar fashion to what was heard on the roll-off for Take Me Back to Eden 2 years ago, where, like, you know, Chokehold and The Summoning differentiated stylistically from Aquaresia and Granite while still being inherently Sleep Token. I think that's probably the closest to most accurate way that I can describe how Caramel is a separate entity from Emergence, but they both still have enough common ground to where I think the vision for Even in Arcadia, which releases on May 9th, starts to become a bit more clear, or about as clear as a vision can possibly be for a band as unpredictable and unorthodox as Sleep Token. I like Caramel a lot, and we are very much so still en route to Even in Arcadia becoming the most talked about and prolific record of 2025. Huge release out of the camp of Baby Metal, this is From Me to You, which features Poppy. In my head, this is a very natural collaboration, and really one that I am kind of surprised took us this long to get to, but it turned out to be everything that I could have ever asked for out of a Baby Metal and Poppy pairing, and then some, because I don't think it's rooted in any sort of bias I might have in favor of Poppy if I were to say that this is my favorite Baby Metal song ever made. Or at least for the time being, because From Me to You is going to be part of their new album, Metal Fourth, which is set to release on June 13th. So, you know, maybe there are other opportunities within that tracklist for something to top From Me to You, but it is a very tall task right from the jump because of how insanely good I think this song is. The way that Sue Metal and Poppy's voices work in unison with each other is really what helps launch this song upward, in my opinion. And the music video that goes along with From Me to You is so visually, like, stunning and captivating, and it very well could be my favorite of the year so far in that regard. And then the final chorus has the kind of pitch change that you have to be, like really fucking locked in and in your element to be able to pull off, and I felt that Baby Metal did so with the greatest of ease. This song is fucking awesome. I love it so much. To sort of, like, I guess continue the train of bands preparing for new album releases, here is Sleep Theory and their new song, 3. So Sleep Theory have generally become one of my favorite bands on the rise in the scene to watch. I got to see them last year open for Beartooth, and they were so, like, on point with their shit that night. Incredibly talented all around. And currently, they are getting ready to release the album Afterglow on May 16th. I think that 3 is my favorite of the singles rollout because even if it is simplistic in its nature and approach, it still excels on every level. And I've said before that sometimes not being innovative, but instead just being like really fucking good is enough for a modern metalcore band to succeed. And I think that's the case with Sleep Theory here. It has one of the catchiest choruses of the year up to this point, like a genuine imprint of sort on my brain, to the point where, like, at random times over these past few days, I'll just go like, it comes in waves, it comes in threes. I've really fucking enjoyed every bit of Sleep Theory's output leading up to this album, and I am very confident and comfortable in calling 3 the pinnacle of all that. I think I've said this before, but let's say that there was a hypothetical Hall of Fame wing ever made for Ulterior. One of the, like, surefire first ballad entries is going to be Lights, and she added, like, another notch for that case last week off of the double single of White Paper Palm Trees and Surface Tension. This is so fucking sick, honestly, because it's not actually just a double single. It's this completely inverse style presentation because the video for Surface Tension has Lights wearing primarily black with a darker tone to the scenery around her, whereas White Paper Palm Trees, in that music video, she is wearing white and her surroundings are like so bright and vibrant, like on some yin and yang type shit. The two songs and videos go hand in hand despite their contrast, and it genuinely might be one of the coolest things I've ever seen her do in her entire career. As far as the songs themselves go, I think they're both outstanding. This whole, like, synthwave vibe that she's been going for with the ASIC singles has allowed her to shine bright in a new way. I do slightly, and again, ever so slightly, prefer White Paper Palm Trees, and if I had to try to pinpoint a reason for that, I think it's because her vocal delivery on that song reminds me a little bit of how she sounded on Little Machines 10 years ago. So there's like some kind of, I guess, like familiarity or nostalgia going on there for myself. But all in all, Lights is a fucking superstar. She always has been, and there are no signs of her slowing down that trajectory ahead of the release of A6 on May 2nd. The final single that I am going to go into detail on for the episode, it's by Badflower, and it is called Pause. There's actually, like, quite a bit I feel like I want to say about Badflower, especially from the perspective of, I guess, historical significance on the show, we'll put it that way. But I'm going to save all of that for their new album, No Place Like Home, which will release on June 20th. For now, I am just going to look at Pause because it is a very heavy song emotionally. There was a quote from vocalist Josh Katz who said that he wrote this song imagining how it would feel to lose his dog Maggie, and then she just so happened to, you know, take a turn for the worse around the time that the song released, and he has to accept that she will not be around much longer. It's the kind of song that I would imagine can be there for anyone who has experienced pet loss before, and I'm not gonna really go on about the topic as it pertains to myself, because I feel like, I don't know, man, like, I did all of the talking that, I need to do about losing a pet, and how Ulterior kind of ended up being built on that in the past. So the most I'll say to close this part on is that I think Bad Flower are able to, like, really find a home in their element when they take on really tough subject matter like this one, and they absolutely nailed Paws. I think this song is tremendous in every way. These were the remaining singles from last week that I gave either a 4 or a 5 to in the reviews on social media. The Problem by Archetypes Collide, Light Like You by Arrows in Action, It's Not That Deep by Bellhaven, Death of Me by Coma Waves, Bloody Hell by Colt, 18 by Dane, Joyride the Pale Horse by Heart Attack Man, Swallow This by Hot Milk, Anthracite by Humanity's Last Breath, Death is the End by Keep Flying, Young Broke by Let Down, Bodies by Living Scars, Ember by Loss and Separation, Backpedal by Mallory Run, Bound by Blood by Sync With Me, Move With Me by Sophie Powers, I'm the Man by Stan Atlantic featuring Lauren Sanderson, Stay Sweet by Stateside featuring Joe Taylor, Chrome Colored Ribcage by Sugarspine, What We Know by Tala, Cold by Tetrarch, Restless by Throwback, Sawed Off by To The Grave, Heinous by Unity TX, Anhedonia by Unwoven, Worse Than You by Versus Me, and God Complex by Watch Out Stampede. The only single that I really wasn't fucking with over the past week was NPC by Our Last Night, and I don't say that out of some sort of agenda against Our Last Night, because I've said a couple times before on this show that I think Our Last Night has some really wonderful gems in their original material, but the output as of late has just not been it whatsoever. NPC just sounds so, like lifeless in comparison to what I know the band is capable of, but then again, what I view as the peak of the original material by this band is turning 10 years old this summer, so maybe it really is just curtains for Our Last Night, and I've chosen to not be so blunt about it before. I don't really know, man. It kind of sucks. But now, having gone through all of the singles for the week, I'm gonna now look at the two albums that I reviewed on social media, the first of which is by Scowl. It is called Are We All Angels? I think this is my first time ever speaking about Scowl on this podcast, or at least what I think is my first time within my recollection, and not because I wasn't aware of the band or anything like that, but I guess that at the times where there would have been things to talk about from them, I just had other stuff going on and my attention was diverted elsewhere, and that's entirely my fault. Because I think Scowl have really been a net positive for the hardcore and punk scenes, and the strides that they have made have helped out in more ways than just for themselves. I didn't look too much into the online reception for Are We All Angels, so I am not exactly sure what the response from fans is as it pertains to any possible discussion about how, you know, this album compares to How Flowers Grow from 2021. But what I can say is that for myself, I do view this record as an improvement and a real stamp on where Scowl have been able to grow over the last number of years. I look at the singles rollout, and I think that now, having been able to spend some time with the finished product, the singles did a really, really stellar job at being able to kind of set the stage for what fans of Scowl could be expecting heading into this record. The biggest gem of that bunch for myself did end up being Tonight I'm Afraid, which was the final single to be released ahead of the album. I hit my microphone right now, please disregard that. There's something very infectious about the way the song starts with that little drum beat and like the bass jingle of like do 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 do. It's fucking awesome, dude. And then the song finds its way into one of the best choruses on this whole record, maybe even the best chorus. I feel like I might need to spend, you know, a little bit more time listening to the album to like fully formulate that mindset. But Tonight, I'm Afraid has been able to have this stranglehold on me since it was first released last month, and that attachment has only intensified off of the release of Are We All Angels. On the somewhat opposite end, and I only say opposite because I think the upbeat nature of Cat Moss's voice is one of the strongest suits of Tonight, I'm Afraid. There is Suffer the Fool, How High Are You, which is my second favorite song on the album as of now behind Tonight, I'm Afraid. In that song, you can kind of hear Cat's voice like drag itself along the grain of the instrumentation, and she doesn't really raise her voice in the same way that she does on other songs. There are some select tracks like Fantasy and Fleshed Out, which I did knock a star off of in the social media review because of that effect to Cat's voice, yet for whatever reason, man, I don't just think that it actually works on Suffer the Fool, but it's one of the best features on that song. I don't know, like I can't really put a finger on why it works for Suffer the Fool so well and not so much the other aforementioned songs. But regardless of all that, I do think Cat becomes the star of the album throughout its duration, and you can hear on a song like Cellophane just how perfect she is for this project and how her voice very much so deserves to be a centerpiece in contemporary punk and hardcore. I was very, very excited to dive into Are We All Angels for the chance to be able to talk about Scowl in a more extensive manner, and the album really did not let me down whatsoever. I think I have a better grip on the identity and sound of Scowl now than ever before, you know, just through this ability to talk about them to you guys. And now I am more eager to continue watching them grow because there is literally zero reason to believe that their growth is going to be stunted anytime soon, especially coming off of a record as good as Are We All Angels. And now for the second and final record of the episode. I think this is going to end up being one of the biggest records of the year for a lot of people, and rightfully so. We have the new Thornhill album out called Bodies. Thornhill. Thorny, even, as I've seen some circles referred to them as. Not my circle, just other circles. I do remember reviewing Heroin back in 2022, and I spoke about the album very favorably. I do know that much. And I'm not going to get on here and say that I have any regrets or retrospective second guesses about giving that album a 10, but what I am saying is that I found myself not revisiting it a ton after the fact, and then even going back to Heroin in preparation for Bodies, I feel like I can understand where my mind was at when gassing up the album as much as I did, but not every talking point I established in that review is one that I would stand by today. I think Heroin and even The Dark Pool, they like comfortably swim around like the, you know, the 8 out of 10 region if I have to attach a number value of a score to them in hindsight and, you know, all that good shit. The reason that I wanted to revisit both of those albums is because I could feel that something bigger and greater was on the precipice for Thornhill heading into Bodies, because the singles rollout was very comfortably the most that I've ever been fucking with their material and like really feeling that connection to them. And then, you know, of course, it does help that I got to see them twice last year, The first time was when they supported Silent Planet and then later on supporting Northlane. Both times I was just blown away by them and their overall stage presence. They just come across like absolute stars whenever they're in front of me, and I do think that extended appreciation from myself towards them benefited the anticipation on my end for Bodies. I think that singles like Obsession and Tongues contain some of the biggest moments in that band's tenure. Like, to give a real example, on the outro to Obsession, the way that it sounds like so unsettling and charming all at once, like, that felt big time to me. It just felt like, you know, something really grand was coming for this record, and then that feeling manifested into a reality upon starting the album for my initial listen and really being captivated by Diesel. It is the kind of opening track that not only sets the stage for the album, but it's also very easy to imagine how that song is going to translate to a live setting right after Thornhill walk onto the stage. It's only about 2 minutes long, but I feel that the entire like essence and aura of Thornhill is captured so perfectly within that. It's chaotic and emblematic all at once, and that notion carries over into Revolver, which is one of my absolute favorite songs on the album. That first pre-chorus of Revolver is so beautiful and maddening at the same time. Like, it gives off this effect of Jacob's voice being filtered through some kind of an aged radio while his surroundings quiet down like so much before he runs into this wall of sound that initiates the chorus. And then by the end of Revolver, the song takes a heavier turn that I think highlights just how good Thornhill sound whenever they dip into that bag. A lot of Bodies is predicated on that, you know, sort of like groove and swagger that Thornhill can so easily possess and wield, and it works out tremendously in their favor. But even after saying all of that, potentially my favorite song on the album is actually one that is significantly different from the rest of the record. It's called Crush, and it's so like slow and atmospheric and ambient compared to everything else that surrounds it, but it immediately clicked for me, and it became something that I just could not turn my attention away from when it started playing. It's fucking mesmerizing just how cool this song sounds, and how the lyrics to the chorus really feel amplified in meaning the way that Jacob sings them. What are you high on now? Silver revolver over my shoulder. You damn mysterious girl got me acting a fool. Silver revolver wanna get closer, mysterious girl. The whole last act of Bodies, which extends from Crush into Under the Knife and For Now, it really sees Thornhill kind of like tug at the heartstrings of the listener, and it was the best possible way for an album as effective as this one to close out. It definitely did end up taking some time and, you know, like a matter of getting to see this band live a few instances, but now, after hearing Bodies several times over, I think the sort of like mythical nature of Thornhill that some fans view them through has caught up to me, and now I fully understand why they're in the position they are with the name value that they've achieved. Bodies is a near flawless experience that I would imagine is going to hold up better for myself than any Thornhill release prior, and I am truly delighted to be firmly on their side now after all this time. And that's it. That was every record and single from the first week of April for me to get through. I really, really wanted to make this episode, and I'm happy that I did, because, you know, the chance to talk about Sleep Token, Static Dress, Baby Metal, Thornhill, like, all at once on an episode, and then even Lights for that matter, like, that's like a dream lineup, you know, and this felt right to come back for this episode and for this week, and you know, we'll see where things go from here. We'll see what time tells and, like, what stories. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore, man. I'm just rambling now. I'm really tired. I'm going to let you guys go now. Thank you so much for listening to this episode if you made it all the way through, and I will see you guys on the next one.